Dr. Lowe addresses the convention.
For this demonstration of your kind partiality in electing me, without solicitation on my part, to a place so honorable and distinguished as that of presiding over your deliberations, I should do injustice to my feelings not to return you my sincere thanks. The territorial legislature, under the belief that the people remain unchanged in their opinions as expressed at the polls, upon the question of convention or no convention, and that the late Constitution was rejected on account of the mutilation and reduction of our boundaries by Congress, and perhaps objectionable features in the Constitution itself, and not because of opposition to a state form of government, made provision at once for the election of delegates to form a new Constitution. To you, gentlemen, this important and distinguished trust has been confided. By the rejection of the Constitution lately submitted, the progress of the territory to state organization has been retarded, but the evils of delay seem not entirely unmixed with good. For in the meantime, there has been much discussion and a development of opinion, which, with the four new constitutions which have been formed in the states and territories, containing new provisions in accordance with the progress of the age, will doubtless contribute much in forming a constitution for Iowa, which, I trust, will be found wise and satisfactory.
On motion of Mr. Bates, the convention proceeded to the election of a secretary. And William Thompson of Mount Pleasant, who was not a delegate, was elected.
I like the looks of that man, Thompson. I bet he goes to Congress someday.
Shh, Dr. Lowe is saying something.
And now, gentlemen, before we proceed, the Reverend Dexter P. Smith of the Baptist Church of Iowa City will ask the divine blessing.
Thou God of the pilgrims and the pioneers, we look to thee for guidance in all good and worthy labors. As these representatives of the people of this territory, a people who have braved the new lands, who have set their plowshares where no plowshares have been before, and who have builded homes where there were no homes before, we pray that thou bless the efforts to be put forth in this place for the establishment of law and for the construction of a state dedicated to the general welfare and to public tranquility. May thy presence be felt by those charged with this great responsibility, and may thy wisdom bless all of their considerations, that to thee may be the honor and the glory of thy labors. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Gentlemen, the further business of organization is before you. What is your pleasure?
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Leffler.
I move that the rules of the convention of 1844 be adopted as the rules of this convention.
The motion was adopted, as was one directing appointment of six committees. For 15 days, the convention was in session. While the delegates had a commission to write a new constitution, the document of 1844 was there as a starting place. Eight of the members had been members of the convention in 1844. Debates of that session were fresh in their memories, particularly that on the subject of banks. Many of the members of the convention...
I wonder what they'll do about currency. The paper currency issued by state banks in other states is practically worthless.
Yeah, especially that issued by banks of the Middle West, east of the Mississippi River.
Precious little currency I see, anyway. Not that it makes much difference. Last time I took paper money for my farm stuff, I found that the issuing bank had failed.
That's why we good Democrats are following the trail of Andrew Jackson, sir. Mm-hmm. We're determined that no such banks of issue shall be permitted to do business in Iowa.
I agree, friend. But the Whigs would have it otherwise. They want a complete banking system set up in Iowa.
Yeah, be all right if it was as easy to spend as it is to print it. As for me, I like my gold and silver. It has a friendly, solid feel. At least when you're lucky enough to have it.
That's right, sir. A solid feel and a merry jingle.
As the bank question came to a head in the debate, Mr. Bates of Johnson County spoke.
Mr. Chairman, this subject of banks has been debated extensively, both in the preceding convention and in this one, with no appreciable effect on the opinion of the members. The fact remains that most of us have seen the damage wrought by irresponsible private banking houses operating without control to the economic destruction of our people of Iowa. Witness the tottering structure of the only bank in Iowa, the Miners Bank of Dubuque, the owners of which had the temerity to issue over $10,000 in banknotes with less than $500 cash on hand to redeem them. It is the present owners of such poor excuse for money who pay for it when it is worthless. We do not object to banks of deposit for business purposes upon which drafts may be issued for payment of accounts at a distance, but for the farmers of this fertile region, I insist that the best bank is the good earth, and that well tilled.
Mr. Bates goes on to insist that banks of issue should not be allowed in Iowa and offers the following provision in the article on banks.
No corporate body shall hereafter be created, renewed, or extended with the privilege of making, issuing, or putting into circulation any bill, check, ticket, certificate, promissory note, or paper to circulate as money.
This provision brings to his feet a stocky, self-possessed gentleman from Muscatine County, J. Scott Richmond, only 26 years old, and destined to live as a beloved Judge Richmond until 1908, at 88, the last survivor of those 32 delegates of 1846.
Mr. Richmond of Muscatine County.
Mr. Chairman, this question is narrowed down to a single point. Whether we will have banks of our own and a currency of our own creation and under our control, or whether we will become dependent on other states for such a circulating medium. By prohibiting the creation of banks, we but disable ourselves and substitute a foreign currency for home currency. The effect of it will be to make Iowa the plunder ground of all the banks in the Union.
Thus spoke Mr. Richmond for the Whigs, the minority party. However, Mr. Bates' suggestion was adopted and became part of the Constitution. The Democrats had won their point. There would be no issuing banks in Iowa. While debate was sharp at times, it was all done in a considerate way. It was evident that opposing viewpoints should be compared. So on May 11th, a resolution was adopted which stipulated that a committee of three be added to the supervisory committee and that their duties should be to inquire into the sectional feelings on the different parts of the Constitution so that members could anticipate the various objections and formulate a constitution that would satisfy the majority of voters. Another subject that drew forth eager debate was that of the salaries of state officers. The doctrine of economy was in the air. Incomes in Iowa were generally small. The dollar was a lot of money.
I should say it is a lot of money. Why, the government charges a dollar and a quarter for an acre of land.
No, the common voter was not going to be cheerful about large salaries for governors and treasurers and auditors.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Henrik of Wapello.
Mr. Chairman, there is such a thing as the dignity of a state. Some of the Easterners in Congress sneer at us now as cheap nomads who don't spend enough money to keep our hair cut.
Mr. Chairman.
The chair recognizes Mr. Bissell of Cedar County.
I want to repeat what I said 2 years ago. The people of Iowa do not want to support government officers at high salaries to ride about in their coaches and sport gold spectacles. We fixed the governor's salary then at $800 a year, and that's enough.
Mr. Dibble of Van Buren.
Mr. Chairman, I am unwilling to spend a single dollar for dignity. A farmer toils from the rising of the sun to its going down, and at the year's end has not perhaps $100. In this country, we are all poor and have to do with but little.
That's the honest truth.
How well I know. I recall it once.
Mr. Saunders of Henry County.
Mr. Chairman, fellow delegates, I say we're running this economy bugaboo into the ground. There are men who will take office at almost any salary and then plunder to make it up.
The chair recognizes Mr. Grant of Scott County.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the salary of the governor be fixed at $1,000 a year.
The motion is carried, and it is so ordered. These subjects under discussion are...
boundaries.
Salaries.
Banks.
Elective judiciary.
Incorporations.
Suffrage.
Thus, with quick, ardent debate, the convention moved rapidly to conclusion. History records that the boundary question was finally settled by action of the Congress of the United States. Stephen A. Douglas, of Lincoln Douglas debate fame, had a hand in determining Iowa's boundaries as a member of the Congressional Committee. Those boundaries were established as they exist today, east and west from river to river, or from the Mississippi to the Missouri, and on the north the parallel of 43 degrees and 30 minutes of latitude. But now let's turn our attention to the concluding moments of the Constitutional Convention. On May 19th, the members assemble for the last time. The final draft of the Constitution is presented to the convention for adoption. A vote is taken and the document is approved. Dr. Lowe, the chairman, congratulates the convention.
Gentlemen of the convention, you have finished the work for which you were sent here by the citizens of Iowa, and I venture to suggest that your work has been well done. You have acted with dispatch and economy of time and expense, and with an evident desire to avoid asperities and harsh memories to carry over into the future consideration of your labors. I am grateful for your courtesy and your thoughtfulness. You have imposed upon your colleagues no long speeches and no protracted debates. You have preserved the courtesies of a representative body set up for a serious purpose. Now, our work is done and is given to the people. Gentlemen, I thank you.
Well, there's the story of my dream, of my visit to the Constitutional Convention of May 1846, a dream whose accuracy of detail I credit to the painstaking research of Dr. Charles E. Snyder of Davenport and the Iowa Historical Society. Now a few added details before we close the door on the archives of the past. The new Constitution provided that it should be submitted to the people for a vote August 3rd. The campaign was conducted along the same lines as that of 1844. Opposition centered on the articles on banks and incorporations and on the added expense of a state government. When the day of the voting came, the new Constitution was adopted by a narrow margin of 450 votes. Territorial Governor Clark, by proclamation, fixed October 26th as the date for the election of state officers and a legislature. The new legislature met on Monday, November 30th, and the governor-elect, Ansel Briggs of Jackson County, was inaugurated on December 3rd. Congress did not act on the bill to admit Iowa to the Union of States until all this had transpired. And it was not until December 28, 1846, that the bill was finally signed by President Polk. Thus, next December 28th will be the real birthday of Iowa, the day on which it took its place 100 years ago as the 29th among the Sisterhood of States.
This has been a feature in the public interest, produced in the studios of WHO, Des Moines.